Let the church say amen.
Amen.
God has been good to us again.
Mm-hmm.
God has always been good to us, and it's us that sometimes don't return the favor.
All right, preacher.
But God is good all the time, mm-hmm. and all the time God is good.
Amen.
Isn't it wonderful to be able to say that each and every Lord's Day?
Amen.
You know, it's not a long stretch that we may have here on this earth. Some stretches are longer, of course, than others, but none of us are here forever. And we need to learn to realize that not being here forever means we need to prepare for the inevitable. And it is coming. We just must learn to praise the Lord and keep his name on our tongues and in our hearts. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from Matthew chapter 11. The verses was 28 through 30. For a subject, we're going to use find rest in Jesus. Find rest in Jesus. Let us take a moment as we go to God in prayer. O Lord, our God and our Heavenly Father, you have blessed us, O Lord, that we were able to get up this morning. To not only wake up, but to get up and be able to dress ourselves, eat food for breakfast, and come out and serve thee in spirit and in truth. We thank you for all your blessings, O Lord, and ask that you continue to bless each and every one of us. We pray for each and every member here this morning. We pray for their families as well. We thank you and pray for the leaders of this congregation, those who take the leadership roles of this the leadership reins of this congregation. And Father, we thank you for their families as well. We pray this morning for those who are unable to be with us because they're sick and shut in. And we know that our list is constantly growing with that, O Lord. And we just pray for those who are sick and may not be as well as they would like to be. We thank you for those who are here, though, and we pray for their well-being also. We thank you this morning, O Father, that we have been left here to carry on this torch that we carry for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, that we can hold up thy blood-stained banner. Thank you, Father, for those who are in attendance and for those who may be on their way. But we're also praying for those who may not be able to be here today. We just ask you that if it be your will, that you would grant them space and time that they may be able to come back and be with us once again. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, because it was one day that you sent your Son down to this earth as he hung, bled, and died on yonder's cross that we may have an opportunity for the tree of life. We thank you this morning, Father, for all of those who stand by his name's sake and hold up that same banner that we mentioned. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for the Church of Christ. Thank you for its members because we recognize, Father, that you came here, you hung, bled, and died, and not only to give us salvation, but also to establish your church, O Lord, the one found in the New Testament, O Lord. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, that all might be well in the name of your Son, Jesus, as we continue to ask and pray for all of these and much more. It is in your Son, Jesus' name that we say. Amen.
Amen.
This morning from that 11th chapter, starting at verse number 29, the Bible says, come unto me, all ye that labor and rest and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Once again, let us find rest in Jesus.
All right.
During the course of your weekly mail deliveries, I know many of us, we receive what we call junk mail.
Mm-hmm.
Many of us a lot more than others. And some of it you don't even bother to read because they come with all kinds of offers. They're saying, win this prize, win that prize, accept this special one-time offer. But you must act right now, some of them say. In our text today, Jesus extends something of an invitation there, or he does extend an invitation that all should gladly accept. In this text, he lets us to know three things about this invitation. He, number one, wants us to come. He invites us to learn, and we shall find rest unto our souls. No man can invite us to come as Christ does. But just how does the Word of God take care of us? Mm-hmm. Unlike seminars of men where we are invited to learn how to buy this real estate, sell that real estate, how to make more money than you've ever made in your entire life, how to make more money than you ever will make in your life, or even how to find the right mate. And I'll tell you right now, finding the right mate is not left up to someone else. It must be left up to you with God's help. They all sound exciting and promising until you get to the fine print. Well, what is the fine print, preacher? The fine print are the legal disclosures. In other words, the bottom line. This is what separates fact from fiction and where we determine whether or not I'm going to qualify for this offer. But I found that in Matthew chapter 11 there in verse number 28 through 30, the qualifications are already given there. It says, come. That's the qualification. All you have to do is come. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, there's the invitation. That's an invitation for you. There's no stipulation of how much money you must have, because God doesn't want our money.
All right.
There's no stipulation of how you must dress, because he's not interested in your dress. That's your outward appearance. Mm-hmm. We must just learn to accept God in our hearts. When I think about and understand, and we all understand just what Jesus is saying, we must come to the plain truth. And the plain truth is that the invitation is just as extended. The plain truth is just as given to us by Jesus Christ and none other. So let us look into this, how we may find rest in Jesus. When I look at the text, when I look at the Bible, and I say that the past, and when I speak of the past, I speak of our lives before we come to Christ. You know, when you think about the past, you think about history usually. The history of where I've been and what I've done. And this is how we come to Christ, because we all have a past. Some of us, our past are a little bit more shadier than others. Some of us, we've got pretty good past. But some of us have offbeat past. And we got to come to Jesus if we want to find rest for our souls. He can bring us out of the spiritual death that we once lived in. According to Ephesians chapter 2 and the verses number 1, it tells us that we were once dead. We were dead in trespasses and sin. And how did we get there? Well, look at verse number 3. Number 3, it says, our conversation were in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. We were dead in God's word. We were dead in God's righteousness. We were dead to spiritual things. We were alive to devilish things, or evil things, if you will. We were prisoners to sin and dead in God, yet alive to Satan. Notice verse 4 and verse number 5 of Ephesians chapter 2, if you will. But God, who is rich in his mercy, for his great love, not your love, not my love, but his love. His great love wherewith he loved us. And then verse number 5, even though we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace we are saved. God's love brought us to safety through Jesus Christ. What a wonderful invitation Jesus has left for us there in Matthew 28 through verse 30. It is an invitation to leave our past behind and come to him. Come to him and he will give us rest. If anybody who labors can understand rest after you've worked, and usually I know it did for me. It used to come about the middle of the week, about Wednesday. You always say, I can't make it just 2 more days, but yet I made it these 3 days. And so they call it hump day. So you can get over the hump that's in your work life. But the Bible said, Jesus said, I'll come to me and I will give you rest. Now you understand That rest means not the physical rest that you get on your job, but spiritual rest, godly rest. It is an invitation to leave our past and learn to live a new life. He will give us rest. But anybody who labors, when they understand that concept of rest, they usually think, I'm going to go somewhere and rest. I'm going to go somewhere and go to sleep. I'm going to go somewhere and lay down. But then that's what you think while you're at work. But as soon as you get off of work, you cheer up. You get to feeling better and you get more energy and you say that I'm going to go do this or I'm going to go do that. But this is not what the Lord is talking about. When he says, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden and I'll give you rest. You got something on your heart or something on your shoulder that you need to get off this morning. Now how do I get that off? Well, you come to Jesus. You come to Jesus and he offers us rest in a pleasant way. An acceptable offer. Laboring is a tiresome burden, but sin is a bigger burden. Sin is real heavy on all of our and in all of our lives. And some of us, we just roll with the punches. We just go with it. But sin is a burden that we don't have to carry. We don't have to carry it, for Jesus is the forgiver of sins. And so when you think about it, in Christ, we can come and we can find that rest that we need. The rest for those who are heavy laden. Look what it says in verse number 29. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. A restful soul is a peaceful soul. A restful soul means that I can sleep at night. Means that I don't have to be so concerned about my past anymore because I've come to Jesus. I've given all my burdens to Jesus. I've given all my troubles, all my sins to Jesus. And Jesus is a bearer of sins and trouble. He can make us feel like a whole brand new person. So when we think about it, he not only takes care of our past, but he offers us blessings for it today. This invitation that he extended in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, is for all who would believe on Jesus. In verse number 28, he says, where there is a blessing of rest, he says, come unto me. See, that's the key to all, the whole thing is coming unto Jesus. And when you come unto Jesus, there should be a whole new change in your life. When you come unto Jesus, nothing will make any difference anymore. That big football game won't make any difference if I miss it today. That big affair that I want to go to this afternoon, when I come to Jesus, is not quite as important as I once thought it to be. You know, we have time on this earth. And as I mentioned to you before, if we live and get 70, age 70, that's 25,500 days that you have in your lives. And how you use those days in your lives, you need to consider. Did I live a profitable life, a prosperous life? And I don't mean in terms of money. Everybody likes money. But I mean, did I serve the Lord in spirit and in truth? Did I go to him just the way he asked me to come to him? When he says, come unto me, all ye that are heavily laden, all you that got, all you with burdens. And for today, everybody I know today has some kind of burden they must carry. Everybody that I know today has something on their hearts that they perhaps need to get off. Everybody that I know today may not want to admit that they've got things in their hearts that they need to get off, but you do. Sin is a burden of our souls. Sin can burden our souls down, but God can give us rest. In Hebrews chapter 4, it speaks of the promises of entering into his rest. This rest requires that we have faith and not unbelief. Jesus has given all that he has for us to be saved. Jesus has given us the opportunity to become a child of God. In John chapter 1 in the verses number 12, the Bible says, He gave us the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. See, you got to believe. And believing is a tough thing for many folk to do. Because it just doesn't seem right that I should put all my eggs in that one basket. But that's what the Bible says. Jesus says, come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden. Come unto me that I can give you rest. And when he gives us, he'll give us a place, his peace, where we can find his peace. In John chapter 14 and verse number 27, his peace is able to soothe a troubled heart. For he said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Verse number 29 of our text, watch what it says. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Rest unto your souls. He can provide us strength for the burdens that we face. If it's comfort we need, Jesus is able to give us that also. If it's comfort we are seeking, Jesus is able to give us that comfort that we need. The most important thing for us to learn of Jesus is that our prayers can still be answered. Our prayers can still be answered if we have faith in him. It's a wonderful thought to know that Jesus is our place of rest. What are you carrying on your shoulders this morning that you need to lift off your shoulders? What do you have in your heart this morning that you need to let Jesus take over for you? Now, I know that many of us, we like to bear our own burdens. I know the Bible tells us to bear our own burdens, but there's a time when you must learn to understand it's too much for you. And you need to go to Jesus. He says, come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that are heavily laden. Come unto me, and I'll give you rest. And when I think about getting rest, I know when I used to work, rest meant a lot to me. But again, that's physical rest. I'm talking about rest for your soul, rest from your burdens, rest from your sins, rest that you don't need to carry things that are not necessary for you to carry. Rest unto your soul. He said, I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. You know, we talk about a mind, but when I speak of a soul, I'm speaking more than just the physical mind that you're thinking of. I'm speaking of what's going to get us to live at the next level in eternity. And the next level is heaven. When I think about how good Jesus has been to us, and you may not want to admit that he's been good to you, but you ought to admit it. You need to admit it. You need to say to yourself, I didn't do none of this by myself. When I woke up this morning, I went to sleep last night, and I was thinking that if I got up in the morning, but I got up, so God didn't do it. I got up on my own. The radio woke me up. The sunlight coming through the window shade woke me up. But that's not true, because somebody had to put the sunlight up there. Somebody had to say, son, it's time for you to go out and shine and wake up those who were sleeping on last night. But some of us, we went to sleep with heavy hearts last night. Some of us went to sleep with heavy burdens last night. Some of us need somebody to give us rest from those burdens. Somebody out there needs someone to carry this burden for me. And Jesus is offering that. He's saying, I'll carry your burdens for today. I'll bless you today if you just would come to me. Then he gives security for tomorrow. And I asked the question this morning, what more could a person ask for than to be assured of his tomorrow's security needs? The classic, the ever revealing Psalms 23. If you got your Bibles, go over to Psalms 23 with me for a minute. And I want you to just notice something there in Psalms 23. And this is a classic, because we all learned this as children for the most part. I think we did. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He answers the ever-revealing questionnaire. Do I need to worry about what I need and what I want? It presents us with a calm assurance and with a words of tranquility, where it tells us of not fearing life. I shall not want. Then verse number 2 says, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. With this assurance, life is no longer, or should be no longer, frightening for us. It tells us that we don't need to worry about life. Look what it says again. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Isn't still waters very soothing to our minds? If you go out and lay down by a brook or a stream and you hear the soothing and calming waters, many of us would fall asleep. But that's what God is telling us. You don't need, the Bible is telling us, you don't need to worry about that. God will take care of that for you. Then in verse number 4, he says, look at verse number 4. Verse number 4 says, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. My rod, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Think about that, church. You don't need to worry about death coming, even though you're walking in the valley of the shadow of death. You don't have to worry about it. We don't need to fear death. We don't need to worry about it, because he'll take care of us in life. And if we've lived right, he'll take care of us in death as well. We all come to church because we want to live with the Lord in heaven. Isn't that right? Well, I don't think so, because didn't nobody say nothing. I think we come to church because we want to live with God in heaven. I think we come to church because we want to live righteously. I think we come to church because the church is the direction, gives directions to get to heaven. That's what we do in church. We give these directions from the Bible. The Bible has laid them out for us, and we simply just clarify them a little bit, that you may learn to live the right kind of life, that you may learn to get to heaven. That's a wonderful thought, that we don't need to fear death. And for the church folk, verse number 6 should be the icing on everybody's cake. Verse number 6 says, watch this. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isn't that a wonderful thought of where you can live if you just but live right down here? How you may live right, how you can live right up there? And you know, when you think about living right entails not a whole lot, but it entails that you do right. Living right means I must do right. And doing right, I have the instruction manual right here in the Bible. The instruction manual tells me what to do, how to do, and why I should do it. But church folk ought to like that verse number 6. That Psalm of David should encourage all of us that if we have not yet found God, we need to find him now. For tomorrow is not a promised day unto us. And when I think about some of us, how dangerously and how recklessly we live our lives, I began to wonder about some of us. I've had thoughts and doubts about myself from time to time. So I don't mind you knowing that from the pulpit is not always right either. Sometimes people began to doubt certain things. We don't know if we're going to be able to straighten that out on tomorrow. We don't know if that tomorrow is, we will even meet that tomorrow. We may be standing and running today, but tomorrow we may find ourselves in the grip of death. If you find yourself heavily laden, now is the time to come to Jesus. For he said, take my yoke and learn of me. We've got to learn to be meek and lowly in heart. We've got to learn to be like Jesus. Many of us have not yet come to the realization how much we need his saving grace. We have not yet understood that he offers rest for our souls, according to verse number 30. Look at verse 30 very quickly here. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. He can carry whatever you have to lay upon him, in other words. He can carry whatever you may have in your life. Let us learn to accept this invitation from Jesus. Let us learn to accept that Christ is alive and well. And I don't care how many thoughts or pamphlets or booklets you've read that said Jesus is not living. Jesus is alive and well. Jesus, when he left this earth, he left the earth alive, and he's still alive in heaven, sitting on the right hand of his Father and our Father. To those who ran to the tomb looking for Christ in the tomb, This morning we studied about it again, and we realized that the tomb was empty. And guess what? Wherever that tomb was at, that tomb is still empty. At least it doesn't hold Jesus anymore. I don't know if it's empty, but it doesn't hold Jesus anymore. I think that's the best part of the resurrection, because Jesus got up. And he can make these offers to us. He's still doing what he used to do when he was saving people back in the Bible days. He is still offering safety to people today. Certainly he can handle whatever may be in your heart. When I think about all that's been done for us in our lives, I can even accept the fact that with God all things are possible. Nothing is impossible with God. I understand that not all men will praise God, even though they should. I understand that all, and when I speak of men, I speak of women as well. I understand that all men are not going to be receptive to receiving God's word. But you know something? A lot of folk will tell you, I come to church so I can feel good. But I got some news for you. You don't have to feel good, because it's not your feelings that you believe with. What do you believe with? According to Romans 10 and 9, you must believe with your heart. Heart up here. So when I look out sometimes in the audience and I see the population is a little scarce, you know, first thing come to my mind? That very thought. Apparently they don't want to believe with their heart. Because I think about how they marched him up Calvary's Hill, and how that they took him to the cross, how that they nailed him to the cross, how that he hung, bled, and died that we may have this opportunity to the tree of life. Somebody might ask the question this morning, how come God was so nice to us? And how come I'm not so nice to him? And I say this to you. The scriptures profess that Jesus was going to die on the cross. And he knew that all men were not going to accept him. But yet he died for all men to be able to accept him. If you come to him, he will accept you. But you've got to come to him. Jesus is not in the arm twisting business. He says in this text, he says, come unto me. And look what he says. He said, all ye that labor and are heavily laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I think about that, and it brings to mind to me that how wonderful Jesus is to all of us. How wonderful and how great Jesus is. And how wonderful and great he was and still is. How wonderful it is to know and serve a living God. It's one thing to serve a God, but it's another thing to serve a living God. Serving a God is not going to get you to heaven if it's not the right God. Serving the living God is the right God to get you to heaven. Oh, and the pathway to heaven. Oh, the pathway to heaven is not always so easy as one would think. It's easy, but it's not so easy that you can just think to yourself, I'm going to do this no matter what. When things get rough sometimes, I ask myself the question, since I can't handle this, what can I do? And I realize right away what I must do. I must turn to God. And then I start to send up prayers. And I start to ask for prayers from other folk. You know, there's nothing wrong with, there's no shame in asking for prayer. Some folk don't say, I don't want to burden the folk down. I don't want to ask nobody to pray for me. What other burden would be better than to ask someone to pray for you? What other burden can someone carry other than to say, the Lord told me to come unto him and he would take care of all of my burdens? You know when, and I know my time is up, when you look at the matter and you say to yourself, Lord, how can I do this or how can I do that? I just don't know how to do it by myself. You say, Lord, you got to help me. I need your help. You don't demand that he help, but you ask him to help. You say, Lord, I got to do this. I need your help in doing this. Can you help me out, Lord? And don't go to him with no frivolous kind of begging or praying, I should say. Because many folk like to ask for things that God is not in the business of giving. God can give us anything and everything that our hearts desire, but we must ask in faith. And some of us, when we go to God, it's a one-time thing. I just need you to do this for me right now, Lord. I won't pray no more until I get into another jam. But I'm asking you to unjam me right now.
All right, preacher.
And when I think about it, God wants us to pray every day because the Bible says, pray without ceasing. Pray always. Men ought to always to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And what does prayer mean? It means going to your Heavenly Father. And to those folk who say, well, I don't know how to pray. Well, if you can speak, you can pray. God doesn't care how eloquently you pray, but he just wants you to pray to him and ask him whatever you ask in faith. And what is faith? Well, faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. So that means that if I walk to the back door looking for faith, will I find it back there? No, sir. That means I must have my faith in my heart. I must believe that what I'm asking God, that he is truly able to deliver. And when he said, come unto me, all ye that are heavily laden, and I'll give you rest. You'll find rest unto your soul. You can find rest in Jesus. And I know we have a myriad of problems that we need rest from. The boss ain't treating you right at work. The spouse ain't treating you right at home. The children not acting right. Even the church folk get on my nerves sometimes. That's what some of us say. But I tell you something. When you need prayers, you need to come before the church. Call somebody, ask somebody to help you pray. Don't ask them to do all the work, all the lifting, but just ask them to pray with you and for you. Come unto me, all ye that are laboring and are heavily laden, and I'll give you rest. Find rest in Jesus. How do I find this rest in Jesus? Well, you come to the Lord by hearing the gospel, believing in it, repenting of your past sin, confessing Christ to be the Son of the living God, and then being baptized. Yes, we baptize every Sunday. We will baptize every Sunday. Just ask the baptizing man here. Ask Brother Jackson. He'll baptize you today, next Sunday, last Sunday he would have baptized you. If you've been putting it off, now is the time to come forward and ask God to forgive, ask the church to pray for you. make the confession if you need to be baptized, and we will baptize you. But what if I got baptized a long time ago, preacher? Preacher, I'm 50 years old, and I got baptized when I was 12. But maybe you have walked astray. Maybe you have went on a path that's not the beating path. Maybe you have went somewhere where you shouldn't have went down that path. So you ask the Lord to forgive you for your past, as he will do, and then ask, come forward, just come right up here. Ask the church to help you pray. Ask the church to pray for you. Ask the church to help you be forgiven of your past sins, or your past burdens, if you will. We'll do this right now as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
Page